We've been celebrating the good news that Jesus really rose from the dead. He is alive. He's the God and King of the universe. And now we think, how does that connect to baptism? Why is it that from very early in church history, churches start to say Easter is a great day to celebrate baptism? We're going to be hearing from Emily a little bit about her story of why she wants to be baptized later on. But before we do that, we're going to think about what baptism means from using a few verses from the Bible. And Juliana, can you come and bring us our reading for this bit, which is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4.
Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Thank you, Juliana. So baptism is a picture of becoming a Christian. It's a bit like a wedding ring. This wedding ring isn't my marriage, and that's very good because I've repeatedly lost this wedding ring in gardening and moving house and trampolining, and I never stopped being married. I lost the ring temporarily. But the ring doesn't make the marriage. Baptism is not what will make Emily a Christian. But the ring is a symbol of the marriage and is actually given and received at the start of marriage as part of the wedding ceremony. And so baptism is a symbol, a picture of the start of the Christian life. After someone becomes a Christian, they get baptized as a picture of having started the Christian life. And that raises the question, well, what is this Christian life? What is it? And in Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, which Juliana just read to us, we heard something wonderful. Because the Christian life is not adding some religion into your life, you know, adding a Sunday morning hobby into your life. It's not trying harder to be moral. It's not a crutch for the particularly useless people. The Christian life is about receiving Christ's glorious resurrection life. Chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We all long for so much more than we currently experience in this world. We long to really matter. We long to be truly happy. We long to be glorious and great. We long to be loved. We long to live in a world of beauty without frustration and destruction. And the picture on the screen represents our longing for glorious life. Different ones of you might have different things on that picture. But it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And Paul tells us Christians are raised with Christ to the highest possible place. We're seated at the right hand of God. So becoming a Christian is not adding a few things into your life. It means being joined to Jesus. It means we get his eternal life, his joyful relationship with God the Father. We're not limited to what we can achieve in this frustrating world of death. We are loved by the infinitely great and infinitely wise Creator. We are secure in his love, safe for eternity to come. Well, we still have struggles and disappointments and failures now, but the end of the story is glorious. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So when we think about what does it mean to become a Christian, I want us all to be clear. The Christian life is not more things that you do. The Christian life is glorious life, resurrection life, life with God forever. We can have the Father's deep love and holy wisdom poured into our hearts. We can be sure of everlasting joy. And that's good news for people like you and people like me. And it's pictured in baptism at the moment where you come out of the water. You've entered this new life with Christ. But why do we need to be joined to Jesus to get that life? Why do you need to become a Christian? The Bible tells us, and experience agrees, that the humanity we are born with is a dying humanity. Everyone who is born will die. And I think the picture that helps me think about this is that we are like sailors on the Russian submarine, the Kursk, in August 2000, when there was an explosion on board and it sank. And there were sailors left alive after that. In the submarine at the bottom of the sea, they're alive, but the air is running out, and if they don't get out of that submarine, they're going to die, unless someone rescues them. And that is a picture of what the Bible says about humanity. It's as if we were made to be sailing, and we've kind of damaged our own vessel, and we've cut our connection to the glorious life that's on the surface, to the oxygen that's on the surface. The way the Bible puts it is that we have turned our back on our Creator, on the one who made us. We've cut the connection. And that's what the Bible calls sin. When the Bible talks about sin, it's not saying eating too much chocolate. It's saying the one who made us and who's given us everything, we have treated like dirt and turned our backs on him. In Colossians 2 and verse 13, it says, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. Your sins have made you dead in your relationship to God. They've cut the connection to his life-giving oxygen. One way of thinking about it is, we really want God's world, but we don't like his rules. We really like his stuff, but we don't want a relationship with him. And so God has allowed us to run from him, to try and live lives our own way. And what we find is, when we run away from God, when we cut the connection, is we don't have what it takes to sustain life and joy forever. God is the fountain of life and joy. He is the Son of goodness. And so with the connection to God cut, what we have is an aching void at our center. We're running out of life. We desperately try and fill our hearts. We desperately try and extend our lives. But nothing satisfies and nothing wins in the end. As Augustine, a 4th century African theologian, put it, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you. And so death, that terrible enemy, is the sign and culmination of this cut relationship with God, this separation. We are dying inside until finally we die physically. Death confirms our separation from God and his life forever. And I hope you see the problem emerging here. We were made for glorious resurrection life. We're stuck with death. We're running out of spiritual oxygen. We need someone to reconnect us to God. And that's the good news. Jesus is the one who connects us to God, because he's the one who goes down to death and rises again. Jesus is like a diver going down to the Kursk submarine, carrying with him the oxygen tanks and the equipment to rescue people and bring them back to the surface, back to glorious life with God forever. Now, with the Kursk submarine, no rescue came in time. But God has sent Jesus in time. This rescue mission has happened. God the Son has become human, bringing a connection to God, the precious oxygen for our souls. And he comes into this world. He doesn't just become human. He dives down to the very depths of human death. But though he died, he is God, and so life itself. He overcame the grave. He rose on the third day, as we've been singing. He's now with the Father, safe in heaven, glorious, reigning forever, loved and happy. He's the ultimate rescue diver. And he's made a way for human beings to be reconnected to God. He's bridged the gap. And so human beings are offered a choice which is pictured in baptism. You can ignore Jesus. And then God says, okay, that's your choice. You are heading for death, and there is no hope beyond death. And even the journey to death is one of frustration and dissatisfaction, as you try and fill the emptiness of your hearts that were made to be filled with God. But we are given a better path. Join Jesus in his death and resurrection. As Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 3, you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Everyone has to die, but if a person trusts in Jesus, he or she is joined to Jesus, and his death on the cross is the death that needs to be paid. That's the end of the being cut off from God, and now there is a new life connected to God. If you were on that sunk submarine and the rescue divers had come, there would be this moment where you would have to do something pretty scary. Because inside the submarine is air, outside is cold, pressure, and no air to breathe except for the tanks. You'd have to trust the rescue divers and go out of the submarine in order to get to the surface. And that's what needs to happen to human beings. If we cling to a humanity that's rejecting God, we're heading for death. We need to step out of that humanity. We need to die to it in Christ, joined to him, so that in Jesus we can rise to a new humanity, a glorious life humanity. That's what Jesus has done in his rescue. That's what he offers. Will you take hold of me? Will you leave the humanity that rejects me? And will you let me take you up to the surface where there's glorious light? Will you let me take you into the presence of God, which you need for life to the full now and for eternal life to come? And that's what baptism symbolizes. Emily will go down into the water to say that she's been joined to Jesus in his death. And so she's died to an old way of humanity. She's died to living without God. And we will take her out of the water. She will rise as a sign of new life, a new life connected to God through Jesus, a life with God's love poured into her heart, a life she can be sure will last forever. Baptism pictures being joined to Jesus in his death and resurrection, so that we've died to the old way and risen to eternal life. Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, having been buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So I hope you see what baptism is doing. Baptism says you're made for glorious life. You're stuck in a dying humanity. Jesus has come to do the rescue. He has come, dive down to death, to lift people from death to glorious life. And the question is, will you say yes? In trusting Jesus, we're saying yes to what he's done. And Emily is saying yes to that Jesus and saying, I want to make that known in baptism, this sign, not because her parents wanted it or society demanded it, but because she has come to trust Jesus for herself.